Chapter 1. An Unusual Event. In the year 2121, on an ordinary spring night, an extraordinary occurrence began in August City. Although it should have been an average 6 o'clock evening, with people coming home from work and the sun about to set, it wasn't. It wasn't a normal sky with natural cloud formations either. Nothing was normal or average on this particular night. Something was up, and some truly sensitive people could feel it in the air. With once a population of over 1 million people, due to famine and outbreaks of infectious disease, August City's population had dwindled to a mere 500,000 during the last 3 decades. In spite of that, the residents of August City thought theirs was the best and largest of all the cities in the United Sectors. It could have been true. But whatever their status might have been, on this night, it was about to change. The United Sectors was once called the United States. It was divided into 4 areas. The 2 best sectors were located on the coasts, 1 east on the Atlantic and 1 west on the Pacific. Then there was the frozen North Sector, and finally, last and least, was the hotbed of revolution and dissension known as the South Sector. The South Sector ran along the Gulf Coast and was once a popular vacation spot, but its waters had been polluted by oil spills, and the beaches were now grimy and disease-infested. Like the United Sectors, August City was also divided into 4 parts, from best to worst. However, the similarities ended there. With each of the August City's 4 parts approximately the same size in land mass, the city was shaped like a rectangle rather than a circle. Summerhaven was the first and finest place to live and work. Summerhaven was where the wealthiest 1%ers lived, making it the least populated area of August City. With a central business district in the midst of Summerhaven, it allowed for its massive mansions to be located far away from the noise and traffic of the section's business center. Those huge estates sat on acres of immaculately landscaped lawns and pristine gardens with pools and solariums. Anyone visiting August City would see the best part first. Summerhaven inspired awed circumspect, and it always left a good impression. Springhaven was next in desirability. Springhaven was where the 5%ers lived. Although its residents were also very wealthy, they fell short of those in the much higher tax bracket of Summerhaven. Springhaven held multiple gated communities and private estates. However, neither its office complexes nor its homes could compare to the ostentatiousness, the utter vulgar display of wealth and success, of those in Summerhaven. Fallhaven was the 3rd section, and in reality, it was divided into 2 parts of its own. Those living on the edge of Springhaven were almost wealthy enough to live in Springhaven, and those who lived on the edge of Winterhaven were almost destitute enough to live in Winterhaven. The true working class of August City lived in the center of Fallhaven, although, in general, there was no real middle class anymore, and there hadn't been for a very long time. In August City, you were either rich or poor. The rich were divided into incremental levels of wealth, the same as the poor were. No matter how wealthy you were, there was always some who had more. No matter how poor you were, there was always some who had less. As for Winterhaven, the bleakest and poorest part of August City, no one actually wanted to live or work there. Residents of Summerhaven, Springhaven, and Fallhaven were warned that it was the most dangerous area in their city. The authorities had convinced everyone that Winterhaven was filled with homeless addicts and the most violent criminals. Winterhaven's residents were the type of people that the rest of August City wanted to forget existed. The authorities gave warning to their residents and visitors that to visit Winterhaven would be at their own risk. Even the police refused to venture into this area. Chapter 2. Home. Salazar and his family lived near the middle of Fallhaven. In spite of his father's well-paid job in Summerhaven, they were not well off enough to live at the edge of Springhaven. Still, they did manage to live as close to it as possible. Not because they were snobbish, but because it was what they could afford, and it had the least amount of crime. Now, on this particular night, some residents in all four parts of the city peered out their windows, and some ran out into the streets to investigate the loud booming pops and thundering growls they heard. Shivers of anxiety ran down their spines as they searched the horizon for some explanation of the noises. To the residents of Fallhaven, even though whatever it was seemed far away, an unusual quiet settled over the crowd as they watched the massive red and black clouds in the distance. They couldn't understand what they were seeing, even though the answer rolled across the sky towards them. Summerhaven was 30 minutes away from Fallhaven by bus. Whatever caused the rumbling roars and red skies first occurred there. Those in Fallhaven hoped it would stay there. The people who had rushed outside to observe the uproar were too young or inexperienced to understand what they witnessed. They looked at their neighbors with blank faces, hoping for a clue. They found none. Their awed silence lasted only a short while before a few began to speculate. "It's not like any weather pattern I've ever seen," a male voice hesitantly confessed. Without conviction, his words were not reassuring, and he knew it better than anyone. He shrugged his shoulders and looked at his feet as he scuffed an imaginary dust pile.
"It's just a storm. It's nothing to worry about," a feminine voice whispered as she nervously rubbed her arms to dispel the chill she felt.
Unsure about her assessment, too, she hoped someone else would agree.
"Probably," another voice softly acknowledged, without belief behind the opinion.
Those attempted reassurances didn't disperse the apprehension. Their anxiety didn't go away. No one was sure what it was or what to say about it either. They could only hope that if it was a storm, it would eventually pass by. That's what storms normally did. As Salazar watched the gathering crowd and the brewing tempest from an open upstairs window, his spine tingled in warning. He listened to the nervous suppositions of the crowd below, and he didn't agree with them. Salazar's instincts told him that whatever it was, whatever was coming their way, felt like something fierce and violent as it headed towards them. Dread filled him as he realized that it was not the kind of thunderstorm that would soon blow over. All of his senses cautioned that it was something much, much worse than anything nature could throw at their city. Mother Nature had been brutal and sadistic at times. For as long as Salazar could remember, there had been violent storms and strange weather patterns that meteorologists could no longer classify with their charts and scales. Tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, hurricanes, blizzards, and tornadoes of massive proportions had rampantly moved across the planet, leaving devastation in their wake. Whether winter or spring, any storm system could be severe enough to cause massive destruction and many deaths. However, somehow, Salazar knew this was different. Somehow, he knew that this energy heading their way wouldn't move on after a terrible lashing. He knew things would not go back to normal after it had expended its wrath. As Salazar watched the scene unfold around and below him, he felt his mother silently join him at the window. An overpowering sensation warned him to run and to get both of them to safety. In fact, a commanding impulse that he could not deny screamed at him, demanding that he flee. There was only one problem. Where? Where could he and his mother go? Another earth-shattering boom sounded, rattling the window panes in their small home. Almost at the same time, some of those with particularly keen eyesight observed an exodus in the midst of the other foreboding atmospheric disturbances.
From two mountain ranges, a mere 20 kilometers north, several commercial Starliners launched thousands of ticketed passengers into the sky. The rumbling of the rocky cliffs breaking apart to make a path for their getaway grew almost as loud as the thundering of the unnatural storm. The purpose of those ships was to carry the wealthiest and most influential residents of the East Sector, along with their most prized possessions, to safety. Until that exact moment, for many, and especially for those who now witnessed the launch, it had been only a conspiracy theory. The rumor that the elitists responsible for raping the Earth's natural resources for profit had an escape plan for themselves after it was depleted had been too far-fetched to hold credence. Very few people could believe such nonsense. Regardless, it didn't feel like such a far-fetched notion now. Not when the blazing boosters fell from the sky and into the ocean only a couple of minutes later. That evidence couldn't be denied, and it confirmed the diabolical scheme of those aboard those ships. Although the United Sectors launched many spacecraft on a regular basis, this was different. This launch was not designated as exploratory or orbiter, and it didn't come from NASA's selected launch sites either. This was a commercial launch for private citizens, the kind reserved for the most elite of their society. Salazar realized that it had taken a vast amount of planning and resources to pull off such a plan. He understood that all along, the projects they'd developed had been a closely guarded government secret hidden deep underground, where the common people were none the wiser. Now there were witnesses to the treachery, although nothing could be done about it. Salazar took in the entire situation, and, from the looks of things, he concluded that no one would be left to hold accountable, even if someone was left to tell the story. He felt certain that this same scenario had also occurred in the other three sectors, and possibly across the entire planet. Salazar's brow furrowed in anger. Bastards! They'd already taken everything from the Earth that could be taken. Mother Earth was dying. She had been for a long time. Because world leaders had debated and debased the issue for nearly a century, everyone had believed that global climate change was more propaganda than anything else. It wasn't. It was merely a method for organizations and governments to promote a private idea in order to secretly fund their own projects and agenda. Knowing that global climate change was true and a distinct probability, government officials and authorities had spread misinformation like peanut butter on a slice of bread. They argued its reality and discredited anyone who spoke out in favor of the concept. Rather than take the necessary steps to prevent it, countries had openly disagreed, and their conflicting stories kept their citizens confused and unsure about the truth of the situation. On the other hand, it made a great distraction as world leaders petitioned for funds to combat fossil fuels and diverted those funds to their own secret projects, a project such as the one Salazar and his mother had just witnessed. Salazar wondered what more they could want. What more could they possibly do to the planet other than obliterate her and kill her inhabitants? Was that the plan? As the new night sky filled with red fiery clouds, Salazar's guts wrenched with even more apprehension. He realized that he was witnessing the end of life as everyone knew it. He understood that nothing would ever be the same, and it was possible that he and his mother might die that very night. Out of the blue, he recalled the words of his great-grandfather, Henry Stevens. "The old rich white bastards, men and women alike, have always tried to destroy us. They've always wanted everything for themselves. They could never get enough of anything, and they refused to share anything. They grew fat from their gluttony and greed, while starving the rest of us. One day they will succeed in their attempt to wipe us off the face of the earth. were nothing more to them than a nest of cockroaches to be exterminated.